continue teaching on the Harlot of Prophets. I think series 3, series 6. And this is like our third meeting. So Paul tells his disciple Timothy, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation, which is through faith in Christ Jesus. And we already established the fact that, over the years, we've established the fact that means there were books that were existing apart from the Bible. But what Paul is telling Timothy is that you have taken the Bible as precious. You have taken it as valuable, as special. And what that has birthed in Timothy is a smartness to salvation. And what that informs us is that there's such a thing as being smart. There's such a thing as being skillful in the knowledge of salvation. And if a man doesn't have it, he doesn't have it. It's a skill. I told you in the last series that there's a skill to it. Don't forget, we spoke about that skill. We now talk about asking interpretative questions. Uh-huh. So there's a skill to it. So Paul says when you eido, which is the word to have known, when you place value on the scriptures, one of the things you come out with is a craftiness, a skill that helps you to appreciate salvation through faith in Christ. And we said what salvation there is such a big word, which don't forget, it's not just this series, particular series. We already started from the last one. We started looking at that sota, right? You know, from that last series, we started looking at the conqueror king, the one who the Greeks will see as a winner. And we said, it's such a big word, salvation. And we said, from that salvation, we said, you're going to have the sota. Because you can't have a soteria without the sota. So if salvation is soteria, the active person in it, the active person in it is not the saved. The active person in it is the savior. Is it making sense? So the active person in the soteria is not the saved. It is the sota, the savior. And from the past series, from series 5 specifically, and series 6, we have seen that sota is a man of war. Right? Oftentimes, it's someone who reigns over others supremely. And that forms an opinion of how some people have seen God in the Old Testament. And they say, he's almost like, not like Jesus. He's someone that just lords over you and tell you, this is what I want. This is who you will kill. This is who you will do this. And they don't get the idea because that's the idea of the sota. And we started this series just to investigate such actions and see why the wars? Why does God fight? Because the truth is, he tells them in the great commandment, Exodus 20, thou shalt not kill. Then he goes ahead to tell them, you are going to kill those Canaanites. You know, someone tells you, you will not kill. Then he says to Saul, don't fear anybody. And you're wondering, is there a line? You know, where do we draw the line? None of that. But we said the sota would be a mighty man. And the Greeks will understand that, or the better put, the Greco-Romans, the Gentile nations, they will understand that because that's the way they conquer battles. That's the way they get land. In fact, not just Greco-Romans, even till almost, say, a century ago. If you look at the Oyo Empire, for example, in Nigeria, you know, you said Oyo is very big, Gabi, and Ibadan is the third largest state in Africa. Is it third? Second? See the way they are looking. I know Cairo, Egypt is the first. I think Ibadan is the second. You know, I said the second largest or the third largest city in Africa, the largest in West Africa. And you're wondering, who made them the largest? Is it that everybody just came and said, from here, oh, is Ibadan. And they use chalk to mark it. Or they use stick. No. Or they say, oh yeah, from here to here, is Ibadan. No. That's not what happened. What happened is that they fight. So, let's say, Some people are inhabiting this particular place. And your empire wants to take it. So what they do is that they will tell you, come and fight. If you win us, then you hold your land. If we win you, you become slaves. And your land is ours. So the empire will keep fighting. And they will keep winning. And their lands will keep getting bigger. That's how they get lands. That's how they get dominion. Is it making sense? Alright, so again, that's like the SOTA. So there is no way he's going to claim something without fighting it, fighting for it. And I want something to go in your head, just at the background, where Jesus said in Mark 3:27 that there is no man that would take, that if you want to take the goods of a strong man, he said you have to go into him and you will bind him. Jesus said that. You will bind the strong man and then you can now take his spoils. Let that be somewhere in the head. That is the mode of a victor. You will have to fight to get what you want. You will have to fight to get what you want. So, that is the SOTA. And we look at that SOTA in the New Testament. In the Greek, to be specific, in the New Testament. We look at it in the Greek, and we saw that it was used for God. That was as at the last teaching. We saw that it was used for God, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and all of that. But how many of you agree that when we look at the Hebrew Yasha, it was more open, it was more explanatory. Come on, right? Because we now began to see in the Greek, it's a very passive term. You know, because they are looking at it with hindsight. They are looking at it with hindsight. So it's passive. But to the prophet, because they are looking at it as what God will do, it's a big deal. It's not the same way, if you had told someone before, like this is a very carnal example, you had told someone before that there will be two people in football who would have together 12 Ballon d'Ors. What's Ballon d'Or? The best player in the world. Now, before Ronaldo and Messi, now listen to this carnal example. Before Ronaldo and Messi, the highest person that has ever gotten anything got two. I mean, two. Like, you are very good in your life. God has blessed you with skill and talent and everything. You will get two. And you go. And then these guys have seven. One person has seven, one another has five. And you're going to... Now, if they have told someone in 1994 that there will be a guy that will come, he will start playing, who have seven awards, you're going to say, how can someone be the best player in the world seven times? Seven times. Others are not playing ball. It will be a big deal. But now, because you are seeing it now, just look at they are finished. Someone was telling me, said, Ronaldo is finished. Someone is collecting £200 million per year. He says, it's finished. I want to be finished like that. That's kind of, Abi Damola, you don't want to be finished like that? Is that the meaning of finished? I'm finished. Stephanie. You know? So again, when you look at something in foresight, oftentimes, it has the strength because it has not been done. Alright, so again, that's the way Yahshua portrayed it. And when you look at that Yahshua, if you are going to replace Yahshua with another Hebrew word, what will it be? Ezar. Thank you. Yeah, smart. So, you are going to replace it with, because they carried out almost the same duty. So, there's something you call replacement theology. I can say that one. Replacement theology, where you can look at two people who are carrying out the same function and then see how they come in a single plan. Yeah, for example, you look at Israel, which you are going to look at the very well this morning. You look at Israel in the prophets, and then you bring the Church of God in the new, and then you say, it cannot be replacement theology there. That is, what Israel was to God, to the prophets, that's what the church is to God in the new covenant. Does that make sense? So you can have a replacement theology. Alright, so, the same way, That same way, if you're going to replace the Yasha, which is the savior in the Hebrew tongue, you're going to replace him, you can replace him with the helpmate, right? With the helper, which we have very well sufficiently examined, and we see that that is the Christ. Abi? We see that that's not a woman. Don't forget, it is not good that man should be alone. Alone, is alone mean that he will be single? Alright? It's not good for man to be stranded, to be helpless, to have his back against the wall. And why did God say that? Immediately he gave an instruction about death. Immediately gave an information about death and how man ought to receive his life. He gave him an helper. He points him to the helpmate and says, you know what? Go for the help of God. Let him be the one that would help you destroy death. Is it making sense? So again, we've seen that Eve cannot be... Look at Genesis 5, for example. Genesis 5 was one, and this is the book of generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God, made he him. Observe verse 2. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name, Adam. Called their name, Adam. So Moses quickly corrects something. If you are seeing two people, he's telling you, come on, one person, the first man. Adam and Eve in one person. So whatever the sin was, whatever the trespassing was, it was Adam and Eve in Adam. Is it making sense? It's not two people. So whether you are looking for an helpmate, it cannot be Eve. Eve is Adam. Call their name Adam. That should be clear now. If they call their name Adam and Eve. So of course, probably in the coming years, we'll explain where Eve comes in. I've given an hint some years ago. I think 2 years ago or 1 year ago. I've given an hint on Eve, on who Eve is in that spiritual analogy, because Eve was just meant to show you something, a part of Adam. It's not another person. It's just a part of Adam. And of course, we were going to look at that, but not today. All right. So we said Adam is Eve. Eve is Adam. One man. Don't forget. Right? Come on. Is it one man? One man, same union. So if Eve is Adam, she cannot be the helpmate. Because man will not find help in himself. He will find help in another. So help is in a third party. For everywhere we look at Ezra, it's always someone who comes to rescue. Like Moses was saying in Exodus 18, for the Lord my God, Eliezer, he is my help. He has delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. Eliezer. You find the term is also allude to the fact that the God is our help. Hosea also said in Hosea 13:8, God is the help. We saw Deuteronomy 33:29. Happy are you, Israel. You know, a people who is watched by the Lord. He is the shield of your is your help and the shield of your strength. Again, so again, help is from a third party. Adam will not find it in himself. He will find it in another. And we said that is exactly the role of the Yasha. The Savior is one who will come to rescue. We said he is a deliverer. He is a deliverer. Let's begin to now go into the intricates. If he's a deliverer, and we said, by using Yasha, Ezra, don't forget replacement theology, right? Right? By using Yasha, Ezra, we said, there are some things that you see around. The moment you mention an Ezra, what will you see around? Impending danger, an enemy is in view. What else? How do you know? Is there any other thing that you see? What else now? Will there be fights? Eh? Or does the Ezra come and beg? Maybe your own Ezra is, don't go long. This person, let him go. I beg. Now, I you just go beg you now. Guy to guy. You know, the Ezra doesn't beg. Amen. Alright, so the moment you mention the Ezra, the Yasha, there's impending danger and he's going to fight it. Now, intricately, if he's fighting, why? why is he fighting? Because where the real issue comes in is not that he's fighting. The issue is he's fighting for just one nation. If he's fighting for every nation, then that's hoodlum. That's not Ezra. That's Togri. That's Wahala person. Yeah, as he's fighting for Philistines, he'll fight for Syria tomorrow. Then day after tomorrow, he'll fight for Seba. Then after that one, he'll fight for... Can't God be this one. Hoodlum God. No. He's fighting for just one nation. Israel. And I make bold to say that it's not necessarily that nation. Oftentimes, Israel is overrated. We will see how Israel becomes the preferred. Alright, so we'll see how Israel becomes the preferred. Because it's not really about that nation. There's nothing special about Israel. What is special is one man. One man. And don't forget, God chooses Israel, let me call it, as a sample nation. He chooses Israel as a sample nation to show what he will do in every nation. God chooses Israel to show his glory on what he is going to do in every nation. Don't forget John 4, what Jesus said. You do not know who you worship. But we know, for salvation is of the Jews. And we've explained before, of course, I don't expect any glorious house church ever to think salvation is only for the Jews. Salvation, again, that big word comes in. You know that he's talking about the Savior, actually. The Sota is coming from the Jews. By mentioning Jews, you have gone back to Judah. Judah, the scepter of strength of Jacob. The scepter of the strength of Israel. The one Jacob blessed and said, the scepter will not depart from you until Shiloh comes, and unto him all the people shall gather. We look at all of that. Because when you start mentioning scepters, you start mentioning kingdoms, the Sota is also inside. The Yasha, the Ezra. Alright. Okay. So we said, the Sota is of the Jews. So God chooses a man, and in that man there will be a nation. Because if you look at it very well, before Israel, God was already fighting. Before Israel, God was already winning wars. For whom? Abraham. So, we are tracing the war and the fighting and the battles and the killings and the buyout. Before Israel. Israel is Jacob. And Jacob will be the grandson of Abraham. Imagine calling Jacob grandson. Alright? So, the grandson of Abraham, but before Israel, God was already having a bias. And that was for Abraham. Look at Genesis 12. Verse 1, and now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, unto a land I will show you. Of course, if you are looking at this in New Testament, with the New Testament view, that's salvation, right? Right? Calling you out of the natural into the supernatural. Calling you out of, that's what Paul said, that God who separated me from my mother's womb. And I've seen people say, oh, it means that God has appointed and anointed Paul from the womb. What kind of nonsense is that? he cannot anoint him as a prophet from the womb. No. God has separated me from my mother's womb. He has separated me from the natural. He has called me to his appointment. He has called me to his will and to his purpose. Alright? So again, that's how you see Genesis 12:1. Don't forget, I've always said it before, what we call Old and New Testament complements each other. Without the Old Testament, don't forget, every time I say Old Testament, I put my hands like this. In inverted commas, because you understand why. All right. So what we call Old Testament, without that Old Testament, the New Testament is incoherent. It sounds like gibberish. You know, someone just saying, salvation is of the Jews. I'm saying, who are the Jews? That's the next question. Who are the Jews? Jews now, the Jews are guarding the temple. What's the temple? Why is there a special temple? Why is there a special house called temple? Little as the word Pharisee, without the old, it sounds gibberish. And without the new, the old also sounds inconclusive. Until Shiloh comes. When? Because till Malachi, we never saw him. Were there episodes? Yes. But did Shiloh come? No. So, without the old, the new sounds incoherent. Sounds like a child. Without the new, the old sounds inconclusive. I don't get what I just said there. Okay? So, God gave his promise to Abraham. That way, you must always read Genesis. So, as you have seen, he's calling him out of his land to a land he will show him. You must see it as in the New Testament. When did that happen? Oh, when a man is saved, God calls him out. Okay? That's why Peter will say, you have the holy calling. Alright? Verse 2. So God told Abraham, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless you, and make my name great, and you will be a blessing. I will make of you a great nation. That is, because of you, the kingdom and nation that comes from you will be great. So can you see that the issue was not Jacob? Jacob is just a beneficiary of Abraham. And that's why when Abraham left, God gave it to Isaac. When Isaac left, God gave it to Jacob. When Jacob left, God gave it to Joseph. When Joseph, it kept passing on and on till it got to David. So when he had the son of David, the son of Abraham, it's the same lineage. Because David also is the son of Abraham. Yeah. Uh-huh. So, I will make of you a great nation and make my name great. Of course, when you say, yeah, make my name great, is that the opposite of the Babel story? Eh? In the Babel story, they said, let us build for ourselves a tower that reaches the heavens and let us make a name for ourselves. That's what they said. Then God corrects that in Abraham and said, rather than idolatry, I've told you before, that's idolatry. Not that some people gather somewhere and they were building. Come on, that's nonsense. How do you, wait, calm down, calm your head down. How do you think some people are laying bricks and it was going to get to heaven? And God was not angry. He now scattered your language. Let me tell you that there is space station. Hope you know. Man has a station in space. Company. That they are operating. People are working every day in space. They don't need to build tower. Hallelujah. I'm pretty sure there's this tower in Dubai. You will know Jerry. Watch Khalifa. I'm very sure Babel did not reach that. There is no way Babel was going to reach that. Have you seen that place before? How many feet? You were there last week now. Alright, so there's no way Babel is reaching that. The kind of technology that was deployed to make that building. That building is, if you look at this building, it's almost probably 100 times. You know how you struggle to climb this place. So, well, it's more than 100. Probably, it's more than 100. It's very, very, very giant. You see it from another country. In some other country, that means you imagine looking up and you see something that is in Ghana. That's how tall it is. So it's very massive. And God did not disturb them. God did not say, hey, Burj Khalifa, I want to call. I'm going to scatter the language. No, they are still speaking their language. Hallelujah. And so, the issue with Babel was just the communication of Moses. And the issue was making a name for themselves. And that is idolatry. When your focus is you and not God. And God is not going to take that from any man. Alright? So let's move. Here we. I will make my name great and you will be a blessing. Verse 3. I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. And in this shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And this is where the bias started from. God already gave his word to Abraham. I will bless everybody that blesses you. And I will curse everybody that curses you. So, wahala, if you choose to curse Abraham, or the nation that comes from him. Is it making sense now? You are seeing the bias. God, and the bias is upon what? The promise. Upon Abraham's obedience. Because Abraham will now get out of the land. Listen, you know, he will get out of his father's land. And follow God's plan. God says, everyone that curses you will be cursed. Let's put that in our New Testament theology. That would be what? In salvation, In God's salvation plan, everyone that opposes that salvation will be cursed. Okay? Just put it somewhere, alright? So, are we seeing the genesis of the bias? Eh? Come on, are we seeing the genesis of the bias now? Everyone, I'll bless those who bless you. And I'll curse those who curse you. The word blessed is the word barak. So in that great nation, I will bless those who bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. Barak, the word bless. And we are going to open a lot of scriptures to see how Moses uses it. The funny thing is that a lot of scriptures is just Genesis. But it's a lot. Because we still have a lot to open still. Genesis 1. We are looking at Barak. I had a friend when I was growing up, Barak. Yeah. The blessed. Oh, I'm blessed. Genesis 1:22. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the sea, and let the flower multiply, in the earth. In Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth. Of course, every time you see be fruitful and multiply, that's God's plan to dominate mankind. That's God's plan to bring his purpose to fall. To bring his purpose to man. When he hears the fruitful and multiply, of course, that's not childbearing. That is bearing the fruits of God in the nations of the world. Alright? Be fruitful and multiply. But he calls that God's blessing. So, we are saying that the blessing is tied to God's plan. Come on. The blessing is tied to God's commandments. Be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Genesis 2:3. Verse 2, Genesis 2:2 says, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and rested on the seventh day from all his works which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all the works which God created and made. God blessed the seventh day. Of course, the seventh day will not be what? Of course, it's not a day. The seventh day will be salvation, the hour of salvation. God blessed every time a man gets it. That is blessing. When a man decides to rest in God's work, God blesses the moment. Alright, okay. Genesis 5:2, you've seen that one. Male and female, he created them and blessed them. And blessed them. Genesis 9:1. God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So again, don't forget that blessing of Genesis, the fruitfulness and the multiplication, the replenishing of the earth is a salvation plan, right? Right? Of course. Why would it say be fruitful? Because there's a seed in Genesis, which is the word of God, which is the Son of God, and you are going to take that seed into all the nations of the earth. You are going to take that seed into all the nations of the earth, and then you can have fruitfulness. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. That's Genesis 8. That's Genesis 9:1. Genesis 9:26. And he said, blessed be the God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. That's he going to look at Canaan very well. Genesis 12. The one we just read now, verse 2, I will make of thee a great nation, I will bless you. And can you say every time you have that blessing, oftentimes it's always related to what God is about to do with mankind. So it's not, you will make money. We're going to look at the blessing of Abraham very soon. Again, it's not about money, it's not about wealth, it's not about fame, it's not about power, it's not about control. No, it's about God's plan. When he says, I will bless you, or you are blessed, go and replenish the earth. It's about his plan and his purpose in the earth. You find in Genesis 12:3, I'll bless them that bless you and I'll curse them that curse you. Genesis 14, verse 19. And he blessed him, of course, that's Melchizedek, verse 18. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God, and he blessed him and he said, blessed be the Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Of course, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God. God is not the possessor of heaven and earth. He's calling Abraham the possessor of heaven and earth. That is the possessor of God's plan on the earth. Heaven is what God is doing. Earth is where man is. The moment you use heaven and earth, I've told you, heaven and earth, in one single statement, is talking about God's plan. When God's plan is now fulfilled, it's called heaven and earth. You now see that in Jesus. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Of course, that is when God's plan is fulfilled. Man's plan, listen very well, man's plan and man's carnality is earth. God's work is heavenly. Heaven and earth is found in Christ. Heaven and earth is found in obedience to God's purpose and His will. Okay? The possessor of heaven and earth, blessed be Abraham. Of course, why is he blessed? Because he has obeyed God in Genesis 12. To leave the natural for the supernatural. And in verse 20, blessed be the Most High God, which had delivered your enemies to your hand, and he gave him tithes of all. Blessed be the Most High God, who has delivered your enemies. Again, brings God to the picture again as the Yasha, who has delivered your enemies. I've told you, Yasha is both used for, we saw it as the verb and as the noun, right? In the verb, delivered from your enemies, right? The word delivered, Yasha. He has delivered you from your enemies. We've seen that it's used in active terms like that, as saved, delivered. Are you still here? Genesis 17, verse 15. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarah your wife, you will not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and I will give her a son. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, king of people shall be of her. Again, people have said that means childbearing is the blessing of God. Calm down. Please calm down. That someone doesn't have a child doesn't mean he's not blessed of God. In Sarah's case, it's not about Isaac. It's about the nation that is going to come through that. Don't forget, so far that we have looked at the blessing from Genesis 2, from Genesis 1 rather, we've seen that the blessing has been tied to God's purpose. Has been tied to God's plan. So when it says, blessed be Sarah, I will bless her, and I will give her a son. It's not about, anytime someone has a son. I've even seen people say this, that means when you have a daughter, it's not blessing. Kaba. You should be competing for stupid people. Represent stupid people all over the planet. Like, I'm just saying, I am here for you. You're stupid. Alright, so I'll bless her and I'll give her a son. The blessing is actually the fact that she will be mother of nations and king of people shall be of her. Actually, the king of the people will come from her. And that is the blessing. Alright. So far, the barak is tied to God's purpose. Abi? Come on, Abi now. Alright. In Genesis 17:20, as for Ishmael, I have heard him, behold, I have blessed him, and I'll make him fruitful, and I'll multiply him exceedingly, 12 princes shall be eager, and I'll make of him a great nation. Again, Ishmael is quite the way Moses will always do it, a monotone, a diatone, where he's speaking with two tongues. Because Ishmael is naturally a seed of Abraham, so he should be blessed, because Abraham followed God's plan. But what happens to those who curse the plan? They get cursed. Alright. We'll see what it means to curse the plan. So, while God will plan that Ishmael too should get blessed, the same way with Isaac. Because he's the seed of Abraham. But even if Isaac, being the seed of Abraham, curses the plan, he will be cursed. But we'll see that very soon. And so, when you see this, don't think, is that a contradiction? Why we call Ishmael blessed? If blessing means following God, being in God's camp, with God's presence, why is Ishmael now blessed? If Paul will now later tell us that, no, the son of the bondwoman and the son of the free woman are not the same. We are the children of the free. And he spoke about Ishmael in very terrible light. Then we now begin to look at Ishmael very well. The same way with Esau. Could Esau have been blessed? Did God plan that Esau would be blessed? Yes. So if Esau is cursed, even though he had plenty cattle and plenty money. In fact, let me give it to you. Esau was richer than Jacob. So it shows that the blessing is not money. Esau told Jacob, he said, whatever you have, I have got 12 times more. What kind of mouth is that one? He said, he thought he stole my blessing. Of course he stole it. He stole it. I have 12 times more. Jacob just said, I better go and sit down. Alright? Say again, the blessing is not material. The blessing is very, very supernatural. Genesis 18. You learning something? Genesis 18, verse 18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. In Abraham or in his seed. Alright, good. You're smart now. So, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in his seed. In that seed that God promised, that promise of God from the beginning. Of course, that's Christ, the son of Abraham, the seed of Abraham. Alright? So, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. How would they be blessed? Because he's going to die for them, he's going to redeem them, and when they believe, they become the blessed of God. So, in Ephesians 1:3, you now see, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. So again, how are we blessed? Ephesians 1:3, we are blessed because we are in that seed. So when you say in Abraham will all the nation of the earth be blessed, it's not in Abraham, it's in his seed. Alright? Where are we now? Genesis 18, Abby. Genesis 22. This one is quite important. Verse 16, and said, myself have I sworn, says the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, and you have not withheld your only son. That in blessing I will bless you. And in multiplying, I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, and the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. That is Christ. Of course, is he talking about the Yashar? Eh? Come on, is he talking about the Yashar, the Savior? That is, the way you will know that is the Yashar, you will possess the gate of his enemies. Because there is no way you are called a victor. The one who is unvanquished, undefeated, without possessing the gate of your enemies. Alright, so again, I'll bless you, and your seed shall possess the gate of its enemies. Very important. Verse 18, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed the voice of Genesis 12. Alright, good. So it's not about a particular nation. Like I said, it's every nation that will obey his voice. I always say this one. When they start teaching. I've said this in time past, that Genesis 12 is for Revelation 12. That sounds cliche. That sounds normal. But because in Genesis 12, there's a nation that come from Abraham. But in Revelation 12, he said, I see before the throne, the great and the small, every nation. Before the throne of God. So again, that Genesis 12 nation is meant to show you what every nation ought to be. Does that make sense? Every nation ought to stand before God, not just Israel. Genesis 24. And Abraham was old, well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Verse 27. And he said, blessed be the God of my master Abraham, who has not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Blessed be God. Verse 31. And he said, come in, you blessed of the Lord, where you stand, wherefore stand thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. Alright. You blessed of God. Genesis 24. 35. And the Lord had blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. Verse 48. And I bowed my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the God of my master Abraham, and which had blessed me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. Again, everything is, Isaac is in view. Jacob is in view. Don't look at the personnels. Look at the end goal. Is it making sense? The end goal is the seed of Abraham. The one who will multiply like the stars in heaven. Hallelujah. Like the sand of the seashore. The one who will be fruitful. Alright? Genesis 24. Is that where we are? We have read verse 48. Now verse 16. And they blessed Rebekah, and said unto her, you are our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those who hate them. Again, Rebekah, That's the wife of Isaac. You know, so the moment they brought Rebecca in. Now, before, who was blessed? Sarah. I will bless her. I will give her a son. Suddenly, the son. Sarah is out of the picture. Because it is not about them. Suddenly, Sarah is out of the picture. They start talking about Rebecca again. Ah, he's blessed. How can we be blessed exactly? He said Sarah was blessed some years ago. But if Sarah had died, the blessing has to continue because the blessing will actually demand. The blessing is for the seed. I don't understand what you're saying there. So suddenly, Rebecca is the one that is blessed now. He said, she will give birth to millions. Millions in both. Millions where? He gave birth to Jacob and Esau. Jacob and Esau. Where are the millions? The millions is you and I. Amen. Because we are now in the seed of Abraham, which we can say is the seed of faith, of faithfulness to God. So, of course, Sarah has gone now. Rebecca is the next in line to be blessed. So, their blessing, is it because they are special? Mm-mm. They were just lucky, or somehow, got married to where the blessing is coming from. He caused Ruth to bless. You know, just somehow. She went to toast someone. You know? He said she was working in the field. Which field? She went to toast Boaz. But we are not ready for that one today. So somehow, Ruth became blessed. Somehow, eventually, Mary, you are blessed. Remember what they just said? Blessed are you among women. Is it making sense now? The women have been, you know, there are many women that have been blessed before her. Just that right now, she's the next. Hallelujah. And she was the last. You know, they didn't call John, Elizabeth, the mother of John, was the blessed. Where is the blessing? The blessing is in the seed. Does that make sense? Alright. We are just looking at that blessed of Genesis 12. We are going back there. Where are we now? Genesis 18, 24, 60, are we? Look at Genesis 25. I don't understand the blessing now. 25:11. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son. Who was blessed before? Abraham. Abraham, blessed of the Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. Now, after Abraham passed, it came to pass that God did what? So it's time for Isaac to continue. Just collect the button. Bless the son, and he dwelt by the well Laharoi. Genesis 26, very important. That one, and there was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, don't go to Egypt, dwell in the land that I shall tell you of. Does that sound like what God told his father? Don't go here, come here. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you, and I will bless you, for unto thee and unto your seed. Suddenly, before it was Abraham's seed, now it is unto Isaac's seed. Because the same lineage. Alright, so you can even call Jesus the seed of Isaac, but it doesn't make sense. Let us call him the seed of Abraham. Alright. And I'll tell you why Abraham and David were such landmarks. Alright, so I'll bless you and unto your seed I will give you all the countries. All these countries. And I will perform the oath that I swore to your father Abraham. Verse 4. And I will make your seed to multiply as the stars of the heaven. That sounds like something that Abraham has heard before. Right? Alright, good. So again, can you see that? So for those that think that Isaac is the seed, you are wrong. Already he's telling Isaac now, your own seed, I'll make your seed to multiply as the stars of the heaven, and I'll give unto your seed all these countries, and thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandment, my statutes and the laws. Genesis 26, verse 12. Then Isaac sold in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Because he did not leave. So, he has done what his father did. Obey God, and he is blessed. Exactly what, of course, Ishmael would not do. Verse 24. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham your father. Fear not. I am with you, and will bless you, and multiply your seed for my servant Abraham's sake. For the promise I have given him. For the covenants you have together, I will multiply your seed. So everywhere we see the bless, the barak of God, it has to do with God's promise in Christ. We're not done. It has to do with God's promise in Christ, right? Verse 29. Thou, that thou will do us no aught,
as you have not touched you, and as you have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent you away in peace, thou art now the blessed of God. Again,
he's saying, don't do anything to us, don't hurt us. As you can see, we did not do anything to you.
What that sounds like, everybody that attacks them will be attacked. Everybody attacks them will be attacked. So Abimelech is saying, Biko, I didn't do anything.
The same thing that happened to Abraham. Remember? When the king took Sarah for the wife, and said, let me marry. And Abraham said, it's not my wife, it's my sister. See how we look like see the nose. And they took her. And now you see why God will fight Pharaoh.
Because the seed must come from Abraham.
Pharaoh wanted to disrupt him. And God said, Oga, this one is not even about your like and your spec. Get her back to Abraham. Amen. How do you get what I'm saying now? How do you get what I'm saying? Sarah is already blessed to be that woman who will give Isaac. Then Rebecca will be blessed to be that woman who will give Jacob. That makes sense? But right now, Pharaoh don't collect Sarah. How are we going to have Abraham and Sarah give it to Isaac? Who is the seed before the seed? If Pharaoh will take her for a wife. And so, it's not about Abraham praying to God. That God, give me back my wife. Mm-mm. It's about him knowing that God will bring her back. Because that is the covenant. So no matter how many times Sarah will go, God will bring her back. Because there has to be the seed. So, when you see God fighting Pharaoh, someone said, but he did nothing. It was Abraham that lied. Pharaoh did not know, he was innocent. Forget his innocence. The seed is in view. Now you get the bias.
See where you're looking.
You want me to repeat myself? Let me see your hands. There's something that is blowing in this place. I said, don't forget, I will bless them that bless you, cause them that curse you. That's not because you are Abraham, but because I have chosen to fulfill my plan in you and in your seed, and in your seed, and in the seed of your seed of your seed of your seed, and in the seed of your seed of the seed of the seed of the seed of the seed till Shiloh comes. That makes sense? So I said, for example, you look at when Pharaoh took Sarah or Abimelech, and Abraham was like, it's my sister now. It's nothing, no. Enjoy yourself. And then you see God fight those people, even though they were innocent. Forget innocence. God's plan is at stake. Where all the nations, only one man wants to spoil the plan for all nations. That sounds like the serpent. And so, and everything that resembles the serpent or the seed of the serpent, God will fight. Alright? So why would God not fight them? You are seeing it now, because of his plan. The plan that even Abimelech himself is a part of.
Where are we now? We just at Genesis 26, 29, Abby. Alright. Genesis 27:4. And make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it unto me that I may eat, and that my soul may bless thee before I die. Alright? This is Isaac talking to Esau.
So when you hear that Jacob was blessed of Esau, does it make sense now? Eh? That is, that seed, the one that is meant to bear the seed, will now be Jacob instead of Esau. It's not about money. It's not about the ladies and so that you have many cattle. No, Esau has as much and more cattle than Jacob. The blessing is not material. It's as supernatural as it comes. Alright? So, Isaac told Esau, go and make me meat. And let me bless you. Imagine. So, sometimes you have to wriggle your way through. Now, meat. Amen. You can't buy me too. So, yeah. Let me bless you. Amen. You are smart. Sometimes you know how to grab things. Hallelujah. That's something I learned some years ago. Prophet Obadari, he was just saying in the service, he said, I want to pray. I just want to pray. I want to bless someone. There's not just zero check. Why he was preaching? He just gave to us. I bless you with the dews of heaven. And he was praying for the person. You are waiting for after. Exactly. I'm just kidding, but that was exactly what Isaac was doing here. He said, go and bring me venison. When you bring me meat, I will give you the blessing. See, regardless of, even though he knew it was Jacob, but if Isaac had blessed Esau, Esau it is. Because God's plan will not be fulfilled outside man's choice. If Isaac had said, Esau, bring me and I will bless you, Esau it is that will be blessed. But Jacob, God's plan doesn't fail. Before you know it, Rebecca is already, he has his CCTV. Meat, that's it. You now can buy 4 times the kind of meat Esau can kill. Don't worry, I'll cook it. You know, women, I'll cook it. I know how your father likes it. I know the kind of proportion of maggi that I will put. As Isaac was eating it, the blessing was just like, I will pour my blessing upon you. Your hands look like the hands of Esau, but the voice of Jacob, I don't care. This meat. This meat. Because of this thing you have done. In fact, in you, this thing, the real thing. It's a lie. The real thing cannot come to you too early. Alright, so again, that's what Isaac said. Bring me meat. Number 7. Bring me venison and make me savoury meat that I may eat and bless you before I die, before my death. Again. Of course, Rebecca was not telling Jacob what he had Isaac said. Verse 10. And thou shalt bring it to your father, that he may eat and he may bless you before his death. Verse 19. And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau your firstborn, and I have done according to what you have asked me. Arise, I pray thee, sit, eat my meat, and your soul may bless me. That your soul may bless me. Verse what now are we? 19, Abby? Verse 23. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, and his brothers Esau, as his brothers Esau's hands, so he blessed him. How can you discern someone when you already eaten?
Amen.
Alright, he blessed him. That's verse 23. Verse 25. And he said, bring it near unto me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless you. And he brought it near unto him. And he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Even something that he didn't ask. He asked for meat. But because Rebecca knows the husband, he said, you have to go with Eva. I know your father. That's the way he enjoys it. When you go with meat, you go with Eva. So I said, wine again. Wine again. I don't care whose hands or whose voice this is. You are blessed with the dew of heaven. Your corn will multiply. The voice is the voice of Jacob. Even though I can't see the head gang. The voice is the voice of Jacob. You're not the voice of Jacob. So I don't care. By the time he's talking, he said, nah, I have blessed him. Surely he will be blessed. Aaron. Surely you will be blessed. In blessing, be blessed. Hallelujah. Alright. That's verse what now? 25. Look at verse 27. And he came near and he kissed him and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see the smell of my son as the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Verse 28. Therefore, God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth. And plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve you, and the nations bow to you. Be the Lord over your brethren, and let thy mother's son bow to you. Cursed be everyone that curses you, and blessed be everyone that blesses you. Is that the blessing God gave Abraham in Genesis 12? He's just passing it on. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made the end of the blessing, Jacob was yet scarce gone out of the presence of his father, that Esau came from his hunting. Imagine, if you come late for meetings, these are the things that happen. He's just coming, and he's sweating. And he had also made savory meat, and brought on his father. Sometimes it's not about the savory meat. You are late. Amen. Will Isaac eat it? Yes. But you are late. Learn to make use of moments and time. When you have someone around, make use of the moment. I will say, what about those who had brought Egan around? Before it moved on in 2003. I mean, you were sitting around someone like that. Around Kenneth Hagin. You know, take everything you can take before he goes. Because he will go. Make use of moments. See what Elisha did with Elijah. He's going. Today you're about, you know, the Lord will take your master away from you. I know. Leave me alone. That's not the issue. Right now, he is still here. Amen. Amen. Alright, so it's okay, man. I made savory meat, verse 31, and he said to his father, let my father arise,
eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. Exactly what Jacob said. So Jacob knew exactly how Esau talks. And he said the same thing. Very smart guy. And Isaac, his father, said unto him, who are you? And he said, I am your son, your firstborn, Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, woo! Where is he that has taken venison and brought it to me? I have eaten of all before you came, and I have blessed him. And yet he shall be blessed. There is nothing I can do about it. He shall be blessed. Verse 34. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry. And he said unto his father, bless me, even so, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety, and he has taken away your blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? That is, why, when he named him Jacob, what were you thinking? He's rightly named Jacob. But Esau forgot that he's the one that sold it. Jacob did not just come and take the birthright. With the mother, they already had the plan. Don't forget, when Rebecca had the pregnancy, God told her, there are two nations in you. And the lesser, the first will serve the second. The elder will serve the younger. She knew it by prophecy. What is she doing? She is aligning prophecy to come to pass by force. I already know that the elder one will serve the younger. Esau will serve Jacob. So when she heard, of course, her husband is about to die. She already knows that. She knows the blessing. Nobody, they call that blessed too. Mother of millions. She knows the blessing. She knows the prophethood. She knows everything. The moment, it's just that Isaac is already like 8 years old. Okay, the time has been near. I'm going to keep my ears to the ground. Yeah. You know, I've had judgment. One night, according to God's plan and purpose, when will you pass the blessing? And Isaac was like, so our firstborn, of course. Say, yes, I'm no, I don't have an issue now. They are all my children. I don't have a preferred child, though. I don't have preferred children. You know what my parents say now? I don't take care of one child over the other. That's what my mom used to say. And I was the one she liked. And everybody knew. But when she just said, nobody can argue. I don't treat one child. And then she comes to me and says, don't tell anybody. Go and play game. And when my dad is going to say something, he says, no, uncle no share, ni mo share. And you cover me in many ways. And she says, I'm getting spoiled with it. You know, she's not the one that will go and say, Junior, don't damn me. I have been waiting. You want my support? You know, so, I don't have a prepared child to bless anybody as long as the blessing of God takes over the earth. Say, is it tomorrow? It's tomorrow, I want to bless. But don't worry. I know, don't worry. And then she read Isaac telling Esau, go and bring meat. This man, you know, tell me it's meat. Meat. Thank God we are close to the market. And he said, Jacob, Isaac has gone to, Esau has gone to hunt. Go and bring meat. Even Isaac, his head is not correct. How fast does meat get ready? Meat has gotten ready with wine. Why are you already having party? And he blessed. Again, that is the story of Genesis. Where God doesn't, the way of God is different from the way of man. The way of man will be Ishmael over Isaac. The way of man will be Esau over Jacob. The way of man will be Reuben over Joseph or over Judah. That's the way of man. But no, the way of God is different. You discover that Jacob too, when he was now about to die, what did he do? On Joseph's children, he crossed his hands. So, what is meant to go like this? He now crossed his hand over Ephraim and Manasseh. The blessing of the elder will go to the younger. Again and again is the story of Genesis. The story of God's way different from man's way. Does it make sense? And the story of God's grace. Amen. Not say, I'm the elder brother, I'll pass on this one. Alright, where are we now? Verse what? 36. And he said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these 2 times. No. He took away my birthright. Now that was you. He didn't supplant you in that one. He gave you porridge. And behold, now he has taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac said unto Esau, behold, I have made him your Lord. And all his brethren have I given him for his servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. What shall I now do to you, my son? Even though Isaac really loved Jacob, Esau, there's nothing he can do. And Esau said to his father, if you have blessing, even if it's just one blessing, my father, bless me, even so, my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. It's not about crying. Sometimes crying doesn't solve it. It's late. And Isaac, his father, answered and said unto him, behold, your dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven from above. And by the sword you will live and you will serve your brother. Hear the blessing. It's actually a blessing. You will not curse your brother, because if you curse him now, you are cursed. If you want me to bless you, let me just tell you the blessing. You will serve your brother. And Esau must say amen. So you will serve your brother, and it shall come to pass that when you shall have dominion, that you shall break his yoke from off your neck. That is going to be by death. Genesis 28. Learn something? Verse 1. And Isaac called Jacob, and blessed him, and charged him, and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Alright? So now, what is he doing? He's instructing him how the fathers of the blessing behave. He doesn't care who Esau marries. And of course, Esau also doesn't care. The kind of people he marries. Esau, about. The kind of people he marries, Esau knows that, I don't cost. There's no point. There's no point. Man just be chop life, you know. But Jacob was different. He had to instruct him, you don't take a wife like this. Because whoever you take for a wife is going to influence the seed. Alright? I'm blessing. You don't take a wife of daughters of the Canaan. That's three. Very important. And God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be a multitude of people. Again, that same, like the stars of heaven, that same blessing of Abraham. Still alive. Verse 6. And when Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away into Padaram to take a wife from there, and that he has blessed him and gave him a charge, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Of course, Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and went down to Padaram. Verse 14. And that seed, verse 13. Jacob now began to dream. The dream of the ladder where angels ascend and descended and all of that. Verse 13, and the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father and the God of Isaac. That's the God of the seed. That's the God of the blessing. Alright? The land where you dwell, where you lie, I will give unto you and to your seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And you will spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. We are spread in the name of Jesus. And in thee and in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Chapter 30. And Laban said unto him, I pray you, I have found favor in your eyes. Stay. That's when Jacob wanted to leave Laban's house. Laban said, no, stay. I have learned by experience that the Lord has what? Says now. Genesis 30, verse 27. And Laban said, I pray you, I have found favor in your eyes. Tarry, I have learned by the years that the Lord has what? Bless me for your... So, this will be the pattern you start seeing. God will now start blessing those who are associated with the blessing. And will curse those who curse the blessing. So, when you see war, ask, is this nation for the blessing or against the blessing? If they are against, it's only proper that they will experience the wrath. Just like Pharaoh, like Abimelech. Okay? So, Laban is saying, I discovered that God is blessing me because you are here. And that's because God has to take care of the seed. God is blessing me because you are here. Genesis 48. Before Genesis 48, can we go to Genesis 39? Verse 4. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him an overseer over the house. And he put everything to his hand. That's the house of Potiphar. And it came to pass from that time that made him overseer over the house and over all the earth, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian house for Joseph's sake. Can you see that? So every time, everywhere you see the one who carries the blessing, you will see that everyone who surrounds him, whether they are Israelites or not, they will also be blessed. And everyone that surrounds him, if they curse, whether they are Israelites or not, they will be cursed. That is
the basic, the foundation. Wait, Potiphar, was he not Egyptian? Why is he being blessed? Because he's not costing the blessing. He regarded Joseph and placed him as an overseer. And so, he was to be blessed. Laban will be blessed. Is it making sense? Genesis 48 now. Verse 20. Okay, I'll start with verse 18. And Joseph said unto his father, not to my father, for this is the firstborn. I will start with from verse 13. And Joseph took both his son, took them both Ephraim in the right hand towards Israel's left, and Manasseh in the left towards Israel's right, and brought them to Jacob. And Israel stretched out his right hand. That's Jacob, right? And he laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hand wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. So, the father placed them like this. Then Jacob did like this. So, the blessing of Manasseh, the firstborn, the right hand that was meant to go on Manasseh, he put it on Ephraim. The left hand that was meant to go on Ephraim, he put it on Manasseh. Now, observe something. And he guiding his hands wittingly, and Manasseh was the firstborn. Verse 15. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before my fathers Abraham and Isaac, who did walk, the God which fed me all my life on this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless these boys, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my father Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father had laid his hands upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. He displeased him, and he held up his father's hand and removed it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. Exactly what Isaac also wanted to do, you know. Don't do it now, Papa. And he was tying the hand. And Jacob was like, there's nothing you can do. He has seen it over and over again, and that's God's method. He has seen it over and over again. And as Joseph is carrying it, because I'm an old man, I beg you. And look at something. And when he verse 9, verse 18. And Joseph said to his father, it's not like that, my father. It's like you're growing old. This is the firstborn. Put your right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son. I know it. He also shall become a people, don't worry. And he also shall become great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than him. And his seed shall become multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, indeed shall Israel be blessed, saying, God make you as Ephraim and Manasseh. And he said, Ephraim before Manasseh, the younger before the older. Again, was Manasseh also blessed? Yes, because he also was, he believed in the blessing. That's why you see that he wasn't cursed like Esau. He wasn't, Esau, when you see Edomites, the people that God fought, that's Esau, Edomites. That was Esau's clan, and God was opposing him like this. Because unlike Manasseh, he did not believe. And his father told him, serve your brother. But he's on, chapter 49. Verse 25. Verse 22 says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, and even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him, and shot at him, and hated him. But this bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, even by the God of thy father, who shall help you. Can you see that? Eh? Who shall be your Ezar, and by the Almighty God, who shall bless you with the blessing of heaven above, and blessing of the deep that lies under, the blessing of the breast and of the womb. Verse 26, the blessing of your father have prevailed above the blessing of the progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph, on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoils. And all these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is the father's, what the father spoke unto them and blessed them. Everyone according to the blessing he has blessed them. So when Jacob was blessing of them. But he said, Joseph is separated from his brethren. Verse 26. Okay, that's it. So we now see the Barak, right? Don't forget where we are coming from now. Genesis 12, verse 3. We are spent over an hour on just that. In blessing, I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. So,
Have we seen how God blesses those who bless them? So how will you bless them? You would honor and see them for what they are. Like Laban, like Potiphar, like Manasseh, unlike Esau. So everyone who blesses you, I will bless. Because you carry the blessing. No more people like I said, I will bless you and make you a great nation. Then I will bless those who bless you. But where did the fight come from? I will curse those who curse you. Don't forget, we now said the blessing of God is related to what? The seed, his promise, his plan. And that's why the blessing of Abraham, nobody called it wealth. In Romans 4, what shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, as well as the flesh, has found. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has not the glory of God, at least not before God. For what said the scripture? Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him that walk, the reward is not reckoned of grace, but of death. But to him that walks not, but believes in him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David describes the blessedness of a man to whom God will not impute righteousness without works. Saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Does this blessing come upon the circumcision only? Or upon the non-circumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it reckoned? Was it when it was circumcision or was it not circumcision? Not the circumcision, but the non-circumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness by faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness be imputed unto them also. I believe that grace has taught you to understand this one. Amen. Don't forget the wrapping of circumcision and non-circumcision. I think you understand, right? That is, Abraham, when God called him blessed, was he circumcised or uncircumcised? He was not circumcised. So, alright, that means it is by faith. Alright, and he said, the blessedness is, blessed the man to whom God will impute righteousness without works. So what's the blessing of Abraham? Righteousness by faith. Start, you see that in Galatians 3. Abraham, blessings are mine. Abraham, blessings are mine. I am blessed in that money, in that loan, in that. You don't need it. You just need to be blessed once. Because it doesn't finish. Amen. It's just the blessing of the seed for the nations of the earth. In Galatians 3. But when greed has covered your eyes, you think Abraham's blessing is cattle. If it's about that, then Esau was also blessed. Genesis 3. Verse 9. So then, they which are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. That is, they are blessed with the, just like the faithfulness of Abraham. Just like Abraham who was faithful, who obeyed God. For as many as of works of the law, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone that continues to do the things that are written in this book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, but it is evident the just shall live by faith. Now look at verse 12. And the law is under faith, that the man that do them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For the reason cursed be everyone that hangs on the tree. Can we read verse 14? That the blessing of Abraham I call upon the Gentiles through that we receive what? So what's the blessing of Abraham? The promise of the Spirit. Is it making sense? It's not cattle, it's not wives. Did Abraham eventually marry someone apart from Sarah? Marry Agar, and apart from Agar, still marry one more. You know? Antiquity. You know, just, you know, as he's getting old. Young blood. This is, we have fulfilled the seed part. Now I've fulfilled the seed part. Now let me enjoy my life. I'm just kidding, you know. So Abraham married numerous wives, you know. Had many other children, but none of them were the seed. So again, the blessing was not cattle. The blessing was not wives. The blessing was righteousness by faith. The promise of the Spirit. In Acts 3, the blessing of Abraham. Before you heard them sing it. Because Abraham's blessings are mine. It's not even blessings. Blessing. I think we should sing that song often. Amen. Abraham's blessing is mine. You believe that? Abraham's blessing is mine. I'm blessed in the morning, in the noon, in the evening. Abraham's blessing is mine. Amen. I'm always blessed. Alright. Acts 3. See how Peter said it. 24. Yeah, and all the prophets from Samuel, and all those that follow after, all the people that follow after, as many of us as have spoken, have likewise foretold these days. You are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God had made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, in your seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning every one of you away from his. So the blessing of Abraham will be what? Turning everyone away from iniquities. That is forgiveness of sin. That is the blessing of Abraham. Alright? So let's look at Genesis 12. Are you learning something? Alright. Can you see that the Bible is such a book? And when you read together, everything comes together. Are you seeing it? Now, if you are in Genesis, I believe that there are some things you can. Right? Blessing of Abraham. How is Isaac blessed? How is Jacob blessed? Why is Esau not blessed? Yet he had money. Manasseh, why was he blessed even though the hands were not laid on him right away? Listen. Laban, blessing, Potiphar. So I'll bless them that bless Genesis 12. Go back there. Again, we are looking at the source of the world. So we said everything that God does, he is doing for his plan. And don't forget, his plan is not selfish. His plan is for all nations. I told you that Genesis 12 is for Revelation 12. His plan is for every nation, including the people he's fighting. Their descendants are enjoying that they were destroyed. Amen. There are believers in Egypt today who will be glad that Pharaoh died. Because if he did not let them go, I don't know what would have happened. Alright? But let's go on. So Jesus said, I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Are we seeing that one? I've seen someone that said it before, that in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Giving Sunday, give to every family in church. That's God showing his blessing through you. In you shall all the families of the earth. How many families you want blessed? How many families can only you bless? Even if you are giving certain error. You know how many families are in the world? Again, don't think too much. He said, you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Again, does that include Egyptians? Does that include the Syrians? Does that include Goliath's family? Yeah. But the other part of the blessing is our custom that cost you. So that's why you see God's support for not really Israel. It will be his support for his plan. That's why you see that sometimes Israel lost the battle. Because at that moment, listen very well, it had nothing to do with what God is doing. Probably for their own selfish reasons, the prophet asked them not to go. You get what I'm saying? And that's why before every king will go to war, they will go to the prophet. And will say, has God asked us to go to this one? Because it's God that will determine the war. If he is the one that gives you the advantage, if he is the one that sets you ahead and is your deliverer, then he's the one that will tell you which war he wants to win. See, making sense? There were times that Israel was attacked and God did not do anything. Because it had nothing to do with his plan. He's not breaking anything. Fight as a nation. Most every time, must you have a spiritual power. Must you have support every time. You cannot even fight. They don't have army. At this point, they don't have army. You just have a prophet. Alpha. No good. Imagine going to war and knowing that nothing will happen. God is here. So you're just carrying sword. And you're doing, you know, God is supporting you. You know, and other nations did not know. Of course, they did not know because they are cursed. And because they cursed the blessing. Oh, who see that? That's why you discover that Rahab, even though she was a prostitute, and she wasn't Israeli, the moment she blessed the blessing, she was blessed. Because I will bless them that bless you. It's not about Israel. It's about the seed. I'll curse them that curse you. The word curse is the word arar. A-R-A-R. One thing is just used about 5 times in Genesis. 6 times. I'll curse them. And that's very rare because you see a lot of curses. And it shows that it's not just shepherd. It's not just about cursing someone. What's the name of curse? It's not about declaring an unfortunate incident on someone. Look at Genesis chapter 3. And the Lord, verse 14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed. What did the serpent do? Opposed the plan. Is it getting clear now? So the blessing and the curses are for the seed. You stay on the side of the seed, you are blessed. You oppose what God is about to do, I'm sorry, cursed. That word cursed is almost the word you have in the Hebrew, anathema, you know, in the Greek rather, where you have, you are separated forever. You are away. You are away from God. You are away from God's presence. So curse will mean, blessing will mean God is with you, with his presence. Like Laban said, he said, I've learned from experience that God has been with me because of you. Alright, so that's a blessing. But the curse will not be what? God has departed from me because of you. As a curse. Alright. So when you see them lose the battle, it's a curse. They are not losing because they are not a strong nation. I mean, Philistines and all of that. They are losing because the presence of God is not with them. Is it making sense? Is it making sense? That's why David will come. Again, as a prophet, he said, he told Goliath, he said, you are opposing the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel. Goliath said, it's God. He said, you are your God. I will feed you. Okay, Goliath, as tall as you are cursed. You will be put away from the presence of God. And in the presence of God, anything, without the presence of God, anything can happen to you. Amen. And almost anathema, to anathematize. Alright? So, cursed the serpent in Genesis 4, verse 11. And now thou art cursed from the earth, and thou hast opened thy mouth to receive your brother's blood. Again, Cain. What did he do? Abel blessed God. Abel believed in the blessing. Abel believed in the promise. Abel believed in the plan. Then Cain killed Abel. God said, you are cursed. God's presence has left you. And Cain knew it immediately. In verse 12, God said, when you till the ground, it shall not henceforth yield for you. So you are strength. A fugitive and a vagabond, you'll be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I bear. Behold, you have driven me out of the face of the earth. And from your face shall I be. Look at it now. Genesis 4:14. And from your face will I be hid. That is the curse. That is the curse. From your face will I be hid. So every time you see, I will curse them that curse you. Again, it will be an absence of God's power, an absence of God's presence. That is the curse. It's not like God is cursing them and shaking for them. No. It's an absence of God's power to help them. What is God's blessing? It will help them. It will deliver them. Abi? It will be the Ezar. It will be the Yasha. Good. If that's God's blessing, then God's curse will be anti-Yasha, anti-Ezra. He will not bless, he will not help them. He will not deliver them. That'll be the curse. So we see that everywhere you see the curse too, it has something to do with God's plan and God's purpose. Genesis 9:9. So in Genesis 9, after the flood, there was a rainbow. And oftentimes, let me just say this one, very instructive. Oftentimes, when you have a victory and a win, the devil comes. Because you just feel like you just had a meeting, a successful meeting, you just did this for God, you did that for God, and you might be full of yourself. And that's what happened to Noah. After the flood and everything, Noah was drunk. He drank himself to this stupor now, and the prophet of God was like, well, that was the funny rainbow. We've got a rainbow. And the son was saying, yeah, Papa, rainbow. And he was drunk, Bible says, and he was naked. Verse 20, Genesis 9. And Noah began to be an husbandman. He planted a vineyard. With his own hand, he planted a vineyard. Now he has all of the earth now. Nobody is competing with him. And he drank of the wine, and he was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. And he told his two brethren. He didn't cover it. He went to tell them, a prophet of God, the only person left with the blessing. Don't forget. The one who will carry it till Abraham. You saw his nakedness, and he didn't cover it. And Ham, the father of Canaan, said, verse 23, and Shem and Japheth, they took garments. You can't be foolish like your brother. They took a garment and laid it upon their shoulders and went backward. I see that. So both of them took a garment and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah woke up from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan. Now you see why Isaac is saying, don't marry from Canaan. And you see why Canaan is not the promised land. But again, everything we come together. We see how series 7, series 8. We see how the series that deals with Canaan. Very well. Like Canaan on Canaan, just Canaan. Hallelujah. We see much more. But for now, I think you have seen details about Canaan. Ham, the stupid boy, was the father of Canaan. And funny thing is that Noah did not curse Ham. He is cursed. So he just cursed the Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be to his brethren. And he said, blessed be the God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And God shall enlarge Japheth, and shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Alright? And of course he died. So again, cause the Canaan, we are seeing the Arar, because he would not cover God's prophet. He's cursed. Genesis 27. This one is quite important. Very ready today. Verse 29. Let the people serve you and nations bow to you. This is Isaac to Jacob. And be the Lord over your brethren. And let your mother's sons bow to you. Cursed be everyone that curses you. And blessed be everyone that blesses you. Genesis 49. This is Jacob when he was blessing all his children. And verse 3 said, Reuben, you are my firstborn. My might, the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity. And the excellency of power, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. They made him cry. They made him cry for years. He's one of the reasons why Pharaoh will say, how old are you? Reuben. He said, you are my firstborn, my mind, the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, the excellency of power. Lagos State. Lagos State is your excellence, state of excellence, I think. Center of excellence. Which one is power? Abuja? No. Abuja is unity. They even know. Pastor Robert. Unstable as water, you will not excel. Because you went up to your father's bed. And defiled it. And he went up to my couch. Reuben actually slept with his father's wife. Simeon and Levi are brethren. These two. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. Oh my soul, come not down into their secret, into their assembly. My honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man. And in their self with the deep down reward, cursed be their anger. For it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Israel, and scatter them. I will divide them in Jacob, and scatter them in Israel. Again, is the curse is the absence. Don't forget Cain's theology. Now I am cursed, and I will be hid from your face. I will be hid from the face of God. That's the curse. And so, Jacob is cursing these ones too. He said, you cannot do anything well. Reuben's own is even more powerful, unstable as water. So the curse is the absence of the blessing. So if the blessing of God is forgiveness of sin, like we have seen from the epistles, Abby, don't forget, we said without the old, the new is what? Incoherent, right? Without the new, the old is. Thank you. So as we are saying, the blessing of God for a nation is forgiveness of sins, the curse will be the opposite. But look at God's word towards Abraham. Cursed be everyone that curses you.
So I will hide my phrase from everyone that curses you. What is the second curse? Because they are not the same Greek words. This one is kalal. Q-A-L-A-L. Or better pronounced, kalal. So, I will hide my face from everyone that kalal you. Which means to despise. So, imagine if you are not looking at the Hebrew word. You are saying, everyone that just talk against you like this. They are just saying, kuni dafwe. No, when you want to learn a new language, it's always the curse that you learn first. Like Ode. You know, everybody learn Yoruba. The first thing is Ode. There's only Igbo boy, my second. The first word, the only word he knows in this world is Olori Buruku. He doesn't know any other word. Olori Buruku. And then when he say that, you know that this course can be heavy. Olori Buruku. And you're also learning Igbo or learning Hausa. All the first languages, you have 2,000. In Igbo. Chileke na. Don't punish you. Alright. So, again, that's not the curse. That's not how to curse someone with the blessing. It means to look down. It's what's called. You see it in Genesis 8. During the flood. Genesis 8, verse 8. So, Noah, to know whether they can come down, he sent a dove to see if the waters were abated from the face of the ground. Abated, that's the word curse. Kalal. If the waters have gone down. To see if the waters have gone down. In verse 11. And the dove came into him in the evening. And lo, in her mouth was the olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated. Imagine that the waters were cursed off the face of the ground. How would you have read that? And it's the same thing. He now knew that the waters were gone down. And that's the word cursed. We see it very well now. I think this one makes it a bit clearer. Of course, Genesis 12:3, where we're coming from. I'll bless them, I'll bless you, I'll curse them, I'll curse you. Also, Genesis 16:4, this one is very important. And he went into Agar, that's Abraham, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Her mistress, she now started looking down on her mistress. That makes sense? Uh-huh. Just like the waters, they will go down, abated. Now, when somebody was conceived, her estimate of her dropped. Cursed be everyone that curses you. Verse 5. And Sarah said unto Abraham, my wrong be upon you. I have given you my handmaid into your bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. That word despised, the word cursed. I was cursed in her eyes. I was abated. I was brought down in her eyes. I was cursed. I was despised. So it's not really in words. It's in disposition. It's in the act. I was brought down in her sight. Now I don't mean anything again because now she's pregnant and I'm not. Is it clear? Exodus 18. And let them judge the people. We are looking at this last teaching, Abi. When Jethro, when we are looking at alone, you sit by yourself alone. All right. So Jethro gave good advice to Moses: take people, teach them. Verse 22. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter shall they judge. So it shall be easier for you. That word easier is the word cursed. How about that? It's the word kalal. So that it shall be lessened for you. Now you see why we look at original words. You will never in your life have thought that when it says, I will curse them that curse you. Now that second curse and this word is the same thing. Now that's the beauty of language. So that it shall be easier for you to be, the matters that you have to judge will be less. It will be brought down. So when he said, I will curse them that curse you, I will hide my face from everybody that brings you down. Does that make sense? No. Yeah. Let's get one more. Kalal. Exodus 21, verse 17. He that curses father and mother shall surely be put to death. He that talks down, he that despises, he that looks down. Right. So everyone who despises Abraham and his nation, everyone who looks down on them, would not enjoy God's presence. Would not enjoy God's warmth. would not enjoy God's victory.
But is it really about them? Eh? What's it about? Eh?
The promise, the seed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for good listening.
Thank you.
Right? So, everyone who looks down, I will hide my face. Don't forget that's the first cause. The second cause is everyone who abates, who despises, who looks down, who lessens. Alright? I will curse them that curse you. And God told Abraham that. And that would be like the genesis of the war. Everyone who looks down, every nation who looks down on you, every nation that despises you and says, which one is the God of Israel? Tell me, did Goliath do this?
Eh?
Did he or not?
Thank you.
So, if Goliath did it, according to the rule of Genesis, the law of Genesis, that I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who curse you. Is Goliath meant to go?
Eh?
Not my fault. Not God's fault. Just sticking to the plan. So, I start to close. For example, if you look at the case of the Exodus, Egypt outrightly opposes the promise. God wants his people free so that they can establish a nation that mimics his nation. So that they can establish an Israel that mimics the Israel of God. We'll look at that very well. Where Paul says, blessed be the true Israel of God. God wants them to go and serve him. Then Egypt says no. If you say no, Moses comes to Pharaoh. Listen very well. Look. Moses comes to Pharaoh and says, the God Almighty, the God of Israel asked me to tell you, let these people go. And Pharaoh said, who the hell is the God of Israel? Pharaoh should know what's coming. Amen. Not God's fault, but he just caused the blessed. And so even though Pharaoh is not Abraham's seed, he'll be cursed. Sorry, is he only him? Even Esau, that is Abraham's seed. So don't see it as God's bias for another nation. That idea is not about the nation, it's about the seed. Esau is Abraham's seed, yes or no? Ishmael is Abraham's seed, yes or no? Yet, they are cursed. Sorry. Do you think Ham and Canaan, they are descendants of Noah, immediate children of Noah. They should be blessed. They are one of the few that believed that they should enter the ark. Whether by family ties or by anything, they entered. But the moment you despise the blessing, God hides his face. And so, in the perishing of Pharaoh, where was God? Eh? Eh? God's face is hidden. In the perishing of Pharaoh and his soldiers in the sea, God's hand is absent. They are cursed. In the perishing of the firstborn, what's happening? God's presence is absent. God is not there. And it's just a law. I will bless those who bless you. We have seen that, whether they were Israelites or not. Potiphar is not. Laban is. Laban is not Israelite, because Jacob is Israel. But whether they were descendants and or in and around the promise, you know, or not, Potiphar was away from the promise. Yet, God blessed him. I'll bless them that bless you. I'll curse them that curse. We'll still look at this very well. I'm just giving you the background. So never forget, the helper doesn't step in unless there's an enemy. Enemy of what? Or enemy to what? Enemy to God's promised land. So if you will not allow Israel to go to that land, listen, if you not allow Israel to go to that land, then be ready to face God's absence. And God's absence can look like perishing in the Red Sea. Left to God, no sinner will go, no sinner will die. Abi, that's what Peter said. He said, God does not rejoice in the death of a sinner, but that every sinner should come to repentance. That's an Old Testament teaching. He said, but when God is not there, go. He's the one that is trying to even save the sinner. He's the rescuer now. That was not told Adam. Was Adam saved? No. But when he despises the blessing and the provision of help, when you say, I beg you, which help? I don't need it. When you despise the help, like Goliath, like Pharaoh, then God will be absent. And if God is absent, that means there's no forgiveness of sins. If God is absent, that means there's no salvation. If God is absent, that means there's no rescue. Don't forget, I am the Savior. I am the only help. There is no other God beside me. So if God is absent, there will be no salvation. That's what we see in the case of Pharaoh. So you see the allegory of war.
And it's God's way of saying he will deliver Israel. We look at this much more. Come in this. Trust you are blessed. Let's take our offense.